T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Actually, maybe we should do a different song to open this hour. Inside your head. I told you every time we have a guest host, we're going to set a separate set of bumper music to play as if this is what we normally play. So we're going to have to save this one for it. All the guest hosts. Lego catchy song. Very good. Welcome back to Overnight America. Ooh, was that something else? Okay, a couple of sports stories. Welcome. It's midnight now. It's Wednesday. Is this a great way to start a Wednesday? Should we just leave this song playing in a loop in the background?
Tuck inside your...
No. CBS trying to end the pricey Tony Romo TV sweepstakes. This dude is in high demand. Everyone online made it sound like he had a crystal ball. He's Notre Dame or whatever, that he was able to call all the plays before they called him. I mean, he was looking really good up in that broadcast booth, as if he had some sort of psychic abilities. One person said something. Let me read this tweet from online, because it pretty much sums up exactly what most people were able to observe. It says, if Tony Romo ever tells you tomorrow is your last day on earth, you better get your affairs in order. But I didn't watch any of the games, let alone have the audio up, because the only time I watch NFL is if it's on in the background here at work, because we have all the different networks that we monitor. And I was able to watch probably the only 10 minutes of NFL this year I watched was when the Chiefs and the Patriots were playing towards the end of that game on Sunday night, and it was intense. So I started paying attention then. But outside of that, people online were making mention of just how good Tony Romo has been as a broadcaster. He signed an initial agreement with CBS, apparently making somewhere around $4 million a year. So if you're a rookie on the broadcast circuit making $4 million a year, absolutely, man, you got the best gig in the world, dude. I know you do a lot of watching of the NFL, which you probably would have done anyway. And I know you only actually have to perform for a couple hours a week. I mean, other than, you know, I'm sure you do some prep work and you do all this stuff. But, man, that's a cushy job, because the NFL's only in season for, was it 17-plus weeks after playoffs, 18, 19, 20? So you're only in demand from August until February. That's a good deal. So Tony Romo has positioned himself to make a lot more money after his contract with CBS ends. And I'm looking at some of the other historic contracts, like John Madden back when he was broadcasting, annually was making $7.5 to $8 million a season after he received $8 million from Fox in 1993. That's 1993 dollars. That's a crazy amount of money. Madden's money considered an anomaly, but you never know. John Gruden, the Raiders coach, when he was with ESPN, was making $6.5 million. ESPN, according to sources, would have extended to $7 million if they could have convinced Peyton Manning to do Monday Night Football. Man, I'm in the wrong business. I should have played football. You think I could have made it to the NFL? I could have went to that combine and rocked it out. Not even for a little bit. Did you see the prop bets are up? Super Bowl is not this weekend. Is it the next weekend? Yeah, so they got a weekend off. Then you have all the media circus going down, and then all of those other things that go around it. And they put up the prop bets. So, you know, sports betting is becoming more popular ever since that Supreme Court ruling that states can start doing that. You don't have to go out to Vegas or Atlantic City or whatever it is. In my case, when I lived in Michigan, if you really wanted to do it, you can cross the border. You can do sports betting in Canada. It was the same thing. They had certain laws where you can only do like this parlay betting, but now a lot of states are introducing their own legislation so they can do their own sports betting wherever they are. So they do this prop bet, and I'm looking at some of these, and people can vote how long the national anthem will last. They can vote on if Gladys Knight will omit a word from the national anthem. They can bet on if a player will take a knee during the national anthem. You can bet on the total... Let's see, total Donald Trump tweets on February 3rd, over or under is at 6 right now. Do you think he'll have more or less than 6 tweets on February 3rd? I'm going to guess more. What do you think? If I had to take that, will Donald Trump attend the game? Big no on that one. Will Chick-fil-A franchise in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium be open on Super Bowl Sunday? I don't think they can be open, can they? That's a huge missed opportunity for sure. It's weird that they have anything inside of a football stadium to begin with because they're not open on Sunday and primarily the games are played on Sunday. What color liquid will be poured on the game-winning coach? Will a non-QB throw a touchdown? These are things you can bet on. Will either team not punt during the game? Will any quarterback throw for 400 or more yards in a game? Wow, it's a big no on that one is what they're calling for so far. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game myself. You want to know why? Because I am an expert in the NFL that I've watched the whole 10 minutes this season. And the sad thing is I don't know any of the players anymore. I know the players that played maybe 10 years ago because that's when I paid attention to that sort of thing. Not anymore. It's completely turned off. Who will the Super Bowl MVP mention first? You can pick between teammates, God, family or family member, owner, city, coach, or does not mention any of the listed. If they mention the coach first, if you bet $100, you'd win $1,100 on that one. Those are some great odds. Wouldn't you go and put the coach on something like that? See, they put teammates as the best odds, then followed by every other ones we mentioned after that. You can even bet on the commercials. Who do you think is going to appear first? If you can guess which commercial it is, you know, you can win some money there too. How many songs will they play at the halftime show? 7.5 is the over-under. So people go nuts for this. They'll go and they'll put a lot of calculation and thought into it. I got to say, the last time I did sports betting, this is a long time ago. This is before I became a Christian or any of this stuff. My buddy and I, my buddy used to go to Vegas a lot, and he said, hey, why don't you go with me sometime? So we went out to Vegas, and I'd never go back there again, even for someone that's not of a faith. I don't know how anyone that could have any sort of faith values in their life could go to Las Vegas based on the things I saw that was going on there. But nonetheless, I was, you know, this is before that. So there was sports betting and sports books, and I got to say, that was the only fun I had there was placing bets and watching a game. That was the only fun I had. And I did make a bet that the Red Wings were going to win the Stanley Cup that year. Unfortunately, it was one of the years they did not win the Stanley Cup. Now, they did go to the finals. This is back when they played Pittsburgh twice. Is that about 10 years ago or so? Yeah, that could have been. And I thought, oh, this would be great. Didn't really work out, unfortunately. But it was fun. You know, that was the only long-term thing. You know, there's one other sports thing. Did you see that the season ticket holders in New Orleans are going to sue the NFL? Whoa, how in the world will that play out? I'm going to talk to our resident legal scholar, Brad Young, next on Overnight America KMOX. Got some text messages coming in, and there was one from Greg. Let's see. Heaven is full of love and inspiration. Question, does one think that God would deny you something or someone you loved on earth? I know, I'm not a biblical scholar by any means. I just have my own thoughts and opinions on this, and it's strictly opinion. Keep that in mind. I'm not speaking with any authority. But, yeah, I brought up we had this debate at the dinner table tonight. Will there be animals in heaven? Will our dog be in heaven? And my 4-year-old was asking the question. My wife believes yes, and I don't think so. I don't think that heaven is afforded to the animals. I think you have to meet certain I don't want to say specifications, but if you look at the Bible, I don't know how you could involve animals in the same way you can involve humans, because there's certain ways of belief in Jesus that would lead you to the path of heaven, which is narrow. I think if you involve animals, that's a wide path, and they don't have the ability to do that. They don't have the ability to reason that way. And Greg's point that don't you have things you love there? I will point this out. So like, let's say you hear people, and I don't mean this as a criticism of any person individually, that says, you know what? Oh, man, the greatest thing ever. Love drinking beer and watching the game. And, you know, I love watching this and I love that. So all of these things will be in heaven. So what makes you think that things that may be frowned upon here on earth is something that God would allow in heaven? So what if the things you love are the things that are not something God would have allowing, something you would allow in heaven. So just because you love it doesn't mean necessarily it's going to be there. And then again, maybe the greater point I have is, why would you care about these things of the earth? I mean, you're going to be so filled up with the presence of God, then why would you even care about these little things that are on earth? None of this would mean anything to you up there. So just, you know, if you love hot rods or whatever, or if you love whatever, you're not going to care. Up there, it's not going to matter to you. It's just, these are worldly things. So that's my thought on that. But thanks for the text messages coming in. You know, during the debate on what's going to happen with the rule changes in the NFL, so there's a lawsuit that's been filed on behalf of the season ticket holders of the Saints, and they want to replay the game. And I thought, you know, if there's anyone that knows a thing or two about the law, it's our legal scholar, who I would recommend for the Supreme Court, joining us now. And joining us now from Harris, Dahl, Fisher & Young, Brad Young, thanks for coming back on to Overnight America.
My pleasure, as always.
I love the headline of this. I think it was a lot of different sports sites, but I'm getting it from the Bleacher Report. Lawsuit filed to have ending of Rams versus Saints replayed after missed call. Now, I don't even know how you can do something like this, but a lawyer, a New Orleans-based attorney, filed a lawsuit asking NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell to force a replay of the championship game because of things like mental anguish, emotional trauma, loss of faith in the NFL. I wanted to get your take on that because, as silly as it sounds, man, I would be upset too if I was a Saints fan.
Oh, absolutely. I would be too. And, of course, leave it to a lawyer to say, what can I do? Oh, hey, I'll file a lawsuit.
I know. Okay,
so, I understand that. But it's one of those situations here, Ryan, where there's actually, it sounds plausible for a lawsuit, but the reality is different than the perception.
Yeah.
That there's something in the NFL rules. It's called Rule 17. Uh-huh. And it's called the Extraordinarily Unfair Acts Rule. Mm-hmm. And really what it does is I even looked it up. And it says here that the commissioner possesses the sole authority to investigate whether a calamity occurs during a game, and if so, and quote, so extraordinarily unfair or outside the accepted tactics of professional football that such an action has a major effect on the results of the game, unquote. And it gives the commissioner, exclusively the commissioner, the sole authority to go back and restart the game where that calamity occurred.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds kind of cool, doesn't it? Wow,
restart
the calamity.
So they can restart at that moment.
Restart the game at that point.
Oh, wow.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. Sounds great. Here's the problem. Kind of like socialism, you know? Sounds great in theory, but it doesn't work in practice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what we're talking about here, because the lawsuit is filed under a cause of action based upon a breach of contract. And that simply holds no water. The court will hold that the attorney that files the lawsuit does not have what we call standing. That means he doesn't have a legally recognizable position in the case.
Mm-hmm.
Because his theory is, I bought a ticket to the game, I was ripped off because of the bad call.
Mm-hmm.
But contractually, when you buy a ticket, it doesn't guarantee you the right to anything other than to possess that seat until the end of the game. Under a contract theory,
okay.
I buy a ticket, I watch the game, it doesn't guarantee an outcome. It doesn't even guarantee you a fair playing of the game. It guarantees you a seat until the end of the game,
okay.
And they got that.
So let's say, for example, this lawyer says, okay, instead of trying to bring this case up independently from the season ticket holders, what if he said, NFL Players Association, the union, get the union involved and say it's unfair to these players the way this was handled? Do you think he could rally other people and maybe actually get something done?
No.
No chance.
Because even if the players' union would ostensibly have a standing in such a case,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know how you could argue contractually that the court has to step in to make Goodell restart the game. I don't know how the courts would have the authority to even grant that, even if standing were to exist.
Yeah.
So I don't see how the courts can step into this, but it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
Kind of like a game, you know, it's fun to watch. This is legal football here. It's fun to watch. but probably won't happen.
Not a chance. Well, as I can understand why they're so burnt by this. They're going to have to change the rules after something like this, too. I'm sure they're going to look at that in the offseason. You know,
absolutely.
What a big difference. I wish I could remember the pitcher's name. He played for the Tigers, and he was one out away from a perfect game or a no-hitter, whatever it was. And he caught the ball, threw the person out at first, and the ump got it wrong, called the guy safe.
Yep, and I remember that.
Terrible, terrible. And it took literally till the end of the game when the ump was able to look at the replay to realize he was wrong, and he was out there saying, I just robbed that guy of a perfect game. It was my fault. And he was owning up to it immediately. And I think that helped the sting of a lot of the fans in Detroit, that he realized and admitted to it, and he was sorry. I mean, genuinely sorry for it. He said, I just robbed that young man, or because he was, you know, one of the, I think a rookie pitcher or something, and just robbed him of that perfect game. And completely different from the NFL. We don't care. You know, these refs, we don't care. Too bad. How sad.
We don't care. But, you know, the thing is, I actually know an NFL referee, and I'm not going to drop his name, but I do know him. He lives here in St. Louis. And he's a great guy. And I know him. In fact, I saw him in a coffee shop 2 weeks ago. But he's told me on numerous occasions how everybody wants to come up to him and argue calls after a game. And weeks, months, and years later, people still want to, you know, come up and say this or that. And you know, that's part of the fun of the game. But I really don't see that we need to get the courts involved. I really don't. As much as I like, you know, hey, Lawyers Full Employment Act, I'm all for it. But in this instance, I just don't think it's positive.
All right, let me throw a couple more hypotheticals at you. So let's say there was a really good chance that the Saints could have scored or whatever it is, even though you can't prove it. Let's say there was certain players that had bonuses coming their way and they were directly impacted and lost money because of a play like that. Could you think they would have some cause to go and make an argument? Well, I was robbed by something like this, and I didn't get my bonus, so I want some money.
Now that, like I said before, I think the players' union would have a standing, and I even think that a player that you just described, and by the way, that was a great question, that would imply that they do have standing. Mm-hmm. But now you get into a political question, and that is, does a player or the players' union want to set a precedent that when something goes wrong, we can sue the commissioner? Because remember, this is a club, and all of the owners are in the club. And I don't know that you would have any players that would want to even engage in that litigation because now you're suing the club that pays your salary.
I see. And maybe if you're, you know, a 40-year-old kicker or whatever, and you know you're going to be retiring. I guess that could be
exactly. Then you're like, hey, I don't care. Now that, at least, I think you get past the standing issue in that. Exactly. You do get past the standing issue, but there would still be several more legal hurdles, I think, to overcome.
Yeah.
But God bless him. I give that guy in the New Orleans an A for effort. Creative lawyering 101. I mean, hey, I'll applaud him on that one.
A for effort. Like you said, you always encourage litigation.
Always. Always. It's always a good thing.
Brad Young, Harris, Dahl, Fisher & Young, friend of Overnight America. Thank you so much for coming on, clearing this up.
My pleasure. Anytime.
He joins us on the Quiver River Electric S line. Always good to hear from Supreme Court Justice Brad Young. Has a good ring to it, doesn't it? Real nice ring to it. So don't expect much if you're listening in Louisiana right now, if you're a Saints fan. Don't expect much from this lawsuit except for, well, if you can shame the NFL, better yet, if you can somehow implicate that Kroenke had something to do with this. Oh, please. Oh, wouldn't that be great? Oh, put a nice wrinkle into this one. All right, so an incident happened on Fox 2. Anchor Kevin Steincross said something he shouldn't have said. I was debating if I was going to talk about this. I didn't want to sensationalize it too much. But earlier today on Mark Reardon's program, he brought on Jeffrey Boyd, who had a couple of comments about it. And I think this might be the time to bring it up. And we're going to do that next on Overnight America KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. So putting some context into this, Bob calling in. Bob, what's going on?
Hi, Ryan. Hey, in the sixth game of the World Series that the Cardinals were in, we hit a play at first base, and our pitcher covered the bag, and the throw was a little high. But you could see the whole play that the base runner was out. Mm-hmm. And the umpire, I think his name was Dechinger.
Okay.
He called him safe, and the Cardinals the Cardinals lost that game.
Yeah, you remember those things like it was yesterday, it sounds like.
Yeah.
You don't forget things that make you upset like that. So this was, what year was this?
You know, I'm not sure. I just remember the umpire's name was Don Dekinter.
Yeah, you remember the guy's name clearly. Okay, so what happened in that series?
Well, that was the sixth game, and the Cardinals could have won the seventh, but everybody was just, it seems like that call took the sail out of, took the wind out of our sails, and we didn't do nothing the seventh game, and we end up losing. I'm pretty sure it was to Kansas City.
I see. Okay, and you'll never let that ump live it down.
No, but I mean, he got so many death threats. I mean,
that's terrible. So terrible. Yeah, and producer Mike reminded me, Galarraga, I think, was the pitcher's name in Detroit, if I'm saying the guy's name right. But the umpire came out immediately and said, you know, I robbed him of that game, and he felt sincerely terrible about it. Did he come out after that World Series game and say anything?
Nope.
Okay.
Hey, I also wanted to tell you that this weekend they got a train show at the St. Charles Convention Center.
Yeah.
And be it that it's you and your boy like Legos, they got a complete train layout of Legos.
Really?
A train actually. They got a little, actually runs, and they got a little town. Everything made out of Legos. It's fantastic.
Oh, this weekend. I'm going to have to look into that because I'm going to take him to the St. Louis Auto Show on Friday. Maybe I'll try on Saturday. We went to Henry Ford Museum a couple of months back when we went to go visit my parents around the Thanksgiving time, and they had this Lego city built. There's some Lego enthusiasts in each state, and apparently the Michigan Lego builders did this giant block of Legos, and they had a little working train or whatever. It was one of the coolest things. I just don't know how anyone could, in their mind, envision that and then build it, manifest it. It's just remarkable.
Yeah, those guys are something else with those trains.
Master builders there. Yeah, so that's at the convention center in St. Charles, huh?
Yeah. I have a train layout in my basement.
Yeah.
And I belong to this one train show people, and they sent me a card in the mail all the time.
Oh, that's neat.
And they have advertised it, so.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to take a look. I'll see if that's something we can go to. That's a good idea. Hey, thanks, Bob.
Okay, sure.
All right, bye. Yeah, my son would love that. Love it. Let me go to Jack over in Brighton. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Ryan. I heard your other caller talking about the World Series, call with Don Dekinter.
Mm-hmm.
That was Kansas City that we played, and I believe it was 1985.
That was some time ago. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. That was 30 years ago.
We won the series in 82.
Yeah.
We lost it in 85 and lost it again, I believe, in 87.
How in the world, 30 years later, you remember not only the umpire's name, but it still leaves a bad taste in your mouth all those years?
It does.
That hurts.
It does. And at the time, back then, in 85, we had a local St. Louis radio host, I will not name him or the station, who gave out Don Dekinter's home telephone number on the air.
No.
Yes, sir.
Oh, no.
I remember this vividly, and he got hate mail and death threat calls.
That's the worst. Oh, my goodness. Who would do that?
From his telephone.
Please don't tell me it was anyone here on KMOX.
He was not on KMOX.
All right.
He was on a different radio station. No.
So terrible. Why would anyone do that? That's just terrible, terrible.
Because I guess, like all of us, he thought this guy cost us the game.
Still, major problems with
that. He gave out his home phone number on the air on the radio station. It's an FM station that he was on at the time.
Is the person still here in the St. Louis market?
No. I don't know what happened to him. No, he hasn't been here now for, quite a few years.
Yeah, I really want to know who it is now. Can you say it? Just can you tell me, or you just don't want to?
Can I say his name on the air?
Well, yeah. This is to your best memory. Let's put that disclaimer out. So,
I know who it is. I listen to him all the time.
What was his
name? He was on KC95, and it was J.C. Corcoran.
He did not. He was a controversial figure. We had a conversation about him just last week here in the KMOX studios.
I didn't hear that.
Well, no, we didn't on air, but it was, he, I guess, bounced around a ton of different radio stations. Controversial guy, and he was on KMOX for a very short amount of time, apparently.
Yes, he was.
I mean, he was on KMOX. That was a mistake. So, yeah, he's made a lot of mistakes in his career. That makes sense that you said his name.
Yeah, and he gave out his home phone number over the air on KC.
Of course. FM. Man, bummer. Yeah. All right, Jack.
Where is he today? Do you know?
Yeah, what's he doing today? I think he's in some small market doing something. I just don't remember where it is, somewhere in Missouri.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wondered.
All right, thanks, Jack.
Okay. Thanks, Ryan.
All right, bye.
Good night. Bye.
Wow. Let me go to Art over in Belleville. Hey, Art, what's going on?
How you doing? Yeah, Don Dechinger did come out later and said that he blew the call and he felt bad about it. But the Cardinals were up 3-1 in that World Series. So, yeah, the Dechinger thing is a fun thing to talk about. But the Cardinals, they should have won it at home in Game 5.
So, wait, you remember also, this, too. It's amazing how many people remember this sort of thing. And 30-plus years later, it's 34 years later.
Yeah.
33.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then,
and you know what?
How long did it take for him to apologize? Do you remember?
Oh, boy. That I don't remember. But he did come out and said, yeah, I blew it.
Wow.
John, if you look, I don't remember the year that they played. After that, they played the All-Star game in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Sometime after that.
Okay.
And they always, you know, and the All-Star games, they always have a celebrity softball game. If you go on YouTube, you'll find that John Hamm participated in that celebrity softball game.
Yeah.
And he has Dechinger's name on the back of his jersey.
Oh, he did not.
He went there and he said, okay, I have to wear this jersey. Does it have to have my name on it?
Oh, that's funny.
And the officials said, well, what are you thinking? He goes, I want Dechinger on my jersey.
That is, you know, you have a homer, man. You know these things. That's something else. Whatever happened to him, do you know?
What's that, the Dechinger?
Yeah.
I don't know this for certain, but I think he went on to become like the head of American League umpires.
Okay.
I don't know that for certain, but that's what my memory tells me.
At least he owned up to it.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, though, the Cardinals are up 3-1. Hey, no, you can't blame it on the umpire, although it's fun.
It is fun. I have a mighty fine time blaming it on the umpire. No, I get it. I get it. But I was shocked to find out this happened in like 85 when the way the memories were coming out, I thought for sure this was something that just happened in the 2000s. But we're talking 33 years ago, man. All right. Hey, thanks, Art.
Yeah. Okay, have a good one.
You too. Bye. All right. How about that? What a crazy story. What everyone remembers, his name and how they feel about it. Wow. All right. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America continues. So, got a couple minutes here. Not that long ago, it seems like just a few weeks ago, there was a meteorologist that messed up the name of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on air and was fired a few days later. There was also an instance that happened not that long ago, I think in South Carolina, and he messed up the name on air, and there was a huge backlash because of it. And he came out, sincerely apologized, said it was just one of those slip of the tongues. When you're doing live television, these things happen. Al Roker defends him and says, I believe it was a slip. These things absolutely happen. It's happened here in St. Louis. It happened a few days ago. Another newscaster uses a slur, accidentally, I believe, in Martin Luther King Jr.'s name. Locally here in Missouri, the NAACP wants him fired. And earlier today, Jeffrey Boyd was on with Mark Reardon to talk about this. So let's look what happened. So this is a newscaster over on Fox 2. You may know him, Kevin Steincross. And early in the morning, it was, I think, in the 6 a.m. hour or something, it was, or 5 a.m. hour, it was one of the earlier hours. He says this accidentally. He went to say Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and said a slur in there. Instead of King, he said something else. A few hours later, he came back and apologized. This was what he said when he apologized.
I want to take a moment to apologize. We have heard from a viewer about a mistake I made in our 5 a.m. newscast this morning. In our story about the tribute to Dr. King, I unfortunately mispronounced his name. Please know I have total respect for Dr. King, what he meant and continues to mean to our country. This was not intentional in any way, and I sincerely apologize.
Yeah, and I have to say a few things as a broadcaster, just a general observation. And if you want to talk about this, you can. If you think, do you think he should be fired? Just like the NAACP believes he should be fired over this. Right now, Fox 2 is standing by them. The management spoke to him about the mistake. They truly believe it's a mistake, inadvertent, and it does not reflect his core beliefs. A Tribune spokesperson had a written statement to the Post-Dispatch. There are groups trying to get him fired over this. And it's, you know, it is unfortunate. I don't think that he said this intentionally. It's, I'm telling you, as a broadcaster, you say things you don't mean to say, and it just happens. You don't think sometimes, because on live television, you're reading a script, and it's so easy to say words incorrectly. I say words wrong all the time. I'm going to give you just a couple of examples. Just me personally, a couple of examples. One, I don't swear at all. Like in my personal life, it's not like I go home and I'm different from the way I am on air here. Even though, you know, I'm a little bit different. Like I don't go home and I have these long rants in front of my wife and I say, oh, this is, you know, let's talk about the wall. And I just go on for 10 minutes. No, you know, I'm not like that. It's not like I'm doing a show in my personal life, but I'm still the same person I am on air, off air. I don't swear and I just don't. It's just not something I do. And there was a couple of times that, well, actually one time on air here, I'll just admit to this. One time on air, I was saying a sentence and one of the words I said sounded like a swear word. It's like, it wasn't that I misspoke. It just came out weird. And I just pressed a button that we have over here in order to make it. We got a thing called a dump button. So if something's on air that shouldn't be on air, we have the ability to stop it from getting on there. It's a button we press and it pretty much deletes seconds worth of, you know, the previous few seconds that we've had. So I had to do that to myself. And even though in my mind, I didn't mean to say that, it just came out weird. And it was so weird for me to do that because I'd never swear. I'm going to give you another example. I'm terrible with names. And whenever I do a story, sometimes I'll know in my mind how to pronounce a name, and for whatever stupid reason, I'll say it wrong. It just happens. I don't know why I do it. And it's weird, too, when I learn a name, something that's a little bit more complex, I'll try to write it out phonetically on my sheet of paper, and I'll try to do that. And what I'll also do is practice it. But when it doesn't matter how many times I say it. This is so weird. I don't know why psychologically this is a thing, but the very first day I learn how to pronounce someone's name or last name for the first time, I'll always say it wrong that first day. But after that, I'll just instinctively know how to pronounce it. It's just what happens when you're doing live broadcasting. By no means do I believe that what this news anchor said on air represents his beliefs. By no means do I, there's no indication that to be true. And that's why broadcasters and companies that employ these broadcasters, you have to use discretion. You can't just use a public outcry, or in this case, an organization that doesn't really know the intention of it, or if it was an honest mistake or not, and try to get them to ruin this guy's career because of it, or any of the good work that he's doing. You have to take those things into consideration if it was intentional or not. And there's no reason to say that Kevin Steinkrus did this intentionally. No reason to believe that either. Now, this is leading up to earlier today. Mark Reardon had Jeffrey Boyd on and had a conversation about this and what he thinks should happen next. And I thought it was a really good conversation. There's two clips I want to play for you. And if you think that Kevin Steinkrus should be fired, I want you to tell me why. 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. Let's play this first one. This is from Mark Reardon earlier. And if you want to go back and listen to it, you can go to the KMOX podcast page.
I give him the benefit of the doubt that he did not consciously mean to say that. However,
why can't you give him the benefit of the doubt that he subconsciously doesn't mean to say it either? That he doesn't have that. Right. I mean, why would you do that?
Well, here's what I think white people have to understand, that there are things in your subconscious that you don't think about. And sometimes based on your conversation that you have in the locker room that you don't have in public, sometimes it inadvertently comes out. But we need to use it as a teachable moment. Now, he's a good person. I don't take that away from him. But we do need to hold people accountable for stuff that they say that's wrong, whether they meant to say it or not. Otherwise, other people will come along and have a Freudian slip or didn't mean to say it.
Well, and that's why he apologized right away.
And he should have apologized for it.
So you think the guy in Rochester should have been fired for what he did?
No, I don't. I don't advocate that they should be fired. But how do we use it as a teachable moment, not just for him who said it, but everybody else that works in the newsroom?
All right, so that was clip one I wanted to play. And I just want to point out, subconsciously speaking, I'm telling you from my own experience as a broadcaster, and I think a lot of other broadcasters have the same experience, it's not a subconscious. You're not getting deep into the guy's psyche if someone slips up. It's just something that happens sometimes. And you know what the worst part of it is? The worst part of it is once you get a couple of these articles into the mainstream and circulating, it gets implanted into your mind. Like the problem I have with the names, I'll think, don't say it wrong, don't say it wrong, don't say it wrong, even though I would never have thought to say it wrong in the past. Now three or four people have messed up, and then the back of my mind is, well, I don't want to say it wrong because of these articles that I've seen, and then you're sabotaging yourself. It's so weird the way the mind works. Again, you're not getting a deeper look into this guy's mind. It was just a complete flub. It was just a mess up. So here's Jeffrey Boyd. Let me play part two of this, another clip.
Sensitivity training.
Oh. Everybody has that, though.
No,
I mean,
they
I'm
don't.
Telling you,
they don't have
they
real sensitivity training. I've sat through some of this stuff, and it's warm and fuzzy. You can't do it with an 8-hour class, with a 4-hour lecture. It's something that needs, at least a week of being immersed into this before you can really understand and internalize what is really going on in America. And unless you are a black person, you have no clue of what it means. And so you can sit behind the microphone and you can say, oh, somebody didn't mean this, all you want to, but it hurts people. And until you get your crap together and understand and be more connected with people that don't look like you, this crap will continue to happen.
Wow, that is totally unfair. Totally unfair for Jeffrey Boyd to try to say that because of the color of your skin, you'll never be able or allowed to understand anything. And obviously there is malice there, and he believes there's some sort of malice if that's the way he's speaking to Mark Reardon in saying that. There's no way you'll ever understand. And you know what? I'm sure there's instances we might not be able to understand, but to try to scold him on that towards the end, that is, I think, a little uncalled for. Yes, I think the absolute odds-on favorite, if you're going to put some Vegas odds onto this, to just be an honest-to-goodness mistake, the honest-to-goodness mistake would be 99%. If you believe this is some sort of undercover psyche and it's just now boiling over to the top here, there's probably a 0.5%. And margin of error, we'll throw another 0.5 in or something like that. You know, let me get to Julie real quick. Julie, what's going on? Hi, Julie, are you there?
I am.
So what's going on? Welcome. You're on air.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I'm very, very frustrated and very confused and not sure what we should do as a country, as a community. It doesn't seem like we can do anything without being accused of racism. And it's ridiculous. No matter what we do, we're wrong. This is crazy.
Yeah. A part of this, too, and maybe part of the point with Jeffrey Boyd at the end, something I should point out. I don't think that you should just dismiss what someone else thinks as being completely wrong because of your own bias or viewpoint. And I think that's what he's doing. I think he's saying that you're not allowed to have an opinion or think the way you're thinking because obviously you don't understand because the color of my skin is different, which is not the right approach. I don't think that's the right approach. And I don't think that's fair what he's bringing up in that point. I really don't.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And sensitivity training, what is that supposed to be about? we're all very, very aware of what the heck is going on with regard to, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. All right. Hey, Julie, thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Ryan.
Bye. Bye. Let me get to Bree real quick. Bree, how are you?
I'm just fine.
You know, we only have a minute here.
Sick dog.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I think I listened last night after your program. I listened to the real Reverend Martin Luther King story on Our American Story.
Oh, okay.
And I can tell you that let's leave it up to Reverend Martin Luther King. Let's think how he would judge this man. And Martin Luther King never thought about his skin. It was not, he was no different from any other man. He was a man, and he loved the Lord, and he served the Lord, and he loved Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and he loved his man. He loved the men in his world.
Yeah.
And he would not criticize a man or condemn him for making a mistake.
Yeah.
Because he talked all the time about mercy and about tolerance.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, Bree, unfortunately, we got to go to break here. I'm so glad to hear your voice.
Thank you very
much. All right, have a great night.
I'm always listening to yours.
Aw, that's so wonderful. It's Overnight America. I can't wait.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.